Are you a RuPaul's Drag Race fan? Then make sure you are subscribed to the Reality Rundown's official Drag Race podcast, The Tuck. Every week, our hosts recap the latest episodes of Drag Race, from the drama in the workroom to the fashions on the runway. We discuss it all, honey. So make sure to subscribe to our podcast everywhere you listen to your podcast so you don't miss an episode. Get into it, sisters.
Hi, everybody. It's Dolores Catania from The Real Housewives of New Jersey, and you're listening to Rundown Media.
Welcome back to another episode of The Reality Right After. I'm your girl, Kay. I am here with my other comrades, Ricky. How you doing, boo?
Hey, girlies. Hey, castmates. It's your girl, Ricky B. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm here for you guys to dish on all the tea, all the TTT.
That's right. Katie, how are you doing?
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. I'm well. I'm happy to be here with the girls today.
Yes, we're missing Chase and Wellington, but you know, we're going to do it anyway. I'm going to try to channel my inner Chase on this episode. So hopefully I can do him some justice since he's not here today. We'll see. Well, let's go ahead and get into all of the reality things that happened this week. I don't know if you guys been watching TV, but we have. So, Kadian, take it away.
Well, y'all, it was heating up in Atlanta. It wasn't Atlanta, but it was Hotlanta, okay? It seems like the newbies came in swinging, and Marlo and Sheree was working out. They were catching up on all the tea. Brooklyn turned 3. Happy birthday, Brooklyn. And the ladies turned up the heat at the little tea party, okay? That tea was piping hot at that tea party. Kenya decides to remix the Bailey cue and gets the tables going. I don't know what was happening, but that was probably one of my favorite episodes of Real Housewives of Atlanta. I wanted to be at the tea party, okay? What do you think about Marlo saying, don't bring your wife friends, because they were upset. And Sheree and Drew go for round 2. And who do you guys think won? And
well, girl, let us dial it back. Go back to the first, you know, let us comment. Let's break it down.
Yes, I want to go through the whole episode, y'all. Sorry, yeah. I had a moment there. I'm over here enjoying it. I'm enjoying some good food. And obviously now I have the good company. So let's get chatting.
Yes. So listen, when Marlo showed up to work out with Sheree, I thought it was funny that they're like, let's count how many seconds that Marlo actually worked out. Like, to me, that was just so funny. Like how they turned the timer on her. And it was like literally like 10 seconds, 13 seconds. I'm like, y'all know Marlo ain't coming there to work out. She came there to hang out with Sheree and dish some tea back and forth.
She didn't even pretend to work out, champ. That's why I'm like, Marlo said, I ain't about to break a sweat in this good hair, girl.
Absolutely not.
You know what's funny? When Marlo was introduced on The Real Housewives, she was working out, I think. You know, she was dating that athlete that everyone was saying Mimi was trying to get with, allegedly talked to, blah, blah, blah. And Marlo seemed like she was a workout type of girl. And, you know, she was exposed last season by Shamia getting her lipo and everything. So I was like, Marlo, you just got lipo last season, girl. Put down the dumbbells and get the chatting because we wanted to know what was going on.
Absolutely. Listen, I love Marlo. So I'm whatever she does, you know, man, I'll correct if she wrong. But to me, she could really do no wrong. Like, I think she's taking her peach very seriously. And I think while she's still on the same level as she was as a friend of, like, I think she has kicked it up a notch. But I definitely enjoy her on the show. And when she was at Brooklyn's little tea party, she had me dying laughing. So I can't wait to talk about that.
We got to get right into the tea party. Forget everything else, because the tea party
was where it was at.
First of all, like I told y'all, it wasn't, I don't think Kenya throws, she does things for herself. Like,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't for a three-year-old's birthday party. Brooklyn no. care less about high tea. Kids want to eat junk, bounce around in a bouncy house, run around, get dirty. It wasn't no characters there. It was like three kids there. Like, it was just boo for a third birthday party. I was very disappointed. And that's why everybody was up in the business, because if they had all the kitty things going on, the petting zoo and what have you, they would have been around the place with their chair. They wouldn't have been all up in the conversation.
Right. Right. But the fact that she even thought that it was okay to even play that game at a three-year-old party, I was just like, girl, like, this is how you know, like you said, Ricky, that the party really won't for no little girl. Because, first of all, why was the parents doing something separate than what the kids was doing?
Right.
I ain't never been to no birthday party for no little kid and to be like that. We all doing the same stuff.
This tea party was so messy because it reminded me of Thanksgiving, when you know you're about to be around your family members you don't really talk to or mess with like that, and you got to sit at the little kids table, but you're overhearing what's going on at the big people table. But because the big people table was filled with so much drama, they didn't even check on the kids to see if the kids was choking on a bone or anything. That's what it gave me, okay? But I wasn't impressed at the fact that that game was brought up at a child's party. I thought, like, it would have been better if it was, like, a little lunch on for the ladies or something mm-hmm. like that. That was would have been more appropriate. But then again, I thought, you know, COVID and how, you know, everything is cramped. And, you know, Kenya coming back from L.A. with Dancing with the Stars and having to do all of this stuff, rush to be Kenya Moore. I wasn't too shocked that she did it at her party. However, let's get into the mess.
Yes, child, because, listen, that white lady, when I tell you when she was storming around, I lost it. I couldn't stop laughing. I was saying it, because Sandy was like, girl, go. That was
it. You were walking back and forth.
Just get out. Get your kid and go.
I was like, if you don't just grab your baby and exit and then text Kenya later, I wasn't pleased overhearing your conversation at the party, so me and my baby had to exit. I don't know why she wanted a moment. You know, the other white woman that was sitting next to Marlo, I investigated and found out her name, but at this moment, I can't recall what it is. But it was so funny to me when Marlo was like, you're the cool one. And I think I tweeted on Twitter, that's what you call a Britney instead of a Karen.
Listen, she was having fun at that table, honey. She's maybe the other lady was mad because she wasn't even sitting at the table. Was she at the table? They didn't show her at the table. So maybe that's really why she was mad, because she wasn't, you know what I mean, sitting over there with them. But wasn't that the same lady, like, at the beginning of the birthday party that Kenya was talking to? Yeah. Was that the same one?
Yes. I don't know. I don't understand why she had that whole scene. It wasn't necessary. And everything was totally fine. Like, everything was totally fine. And were the women talking that loud for the kids to even hear anything? Or was the white woman that stormed out not a part of the table, so she wanted to have a moment?
I'm thinking it's that. Because I don't think kids was really, really paying any type of attention. Because when I was looking at it, I mean, the scene, the kids was all over the place. They because they had that little white band in the background and with some kids over there. And you know what I mean? I guess it was some kids sitting at the table. I don't really think that they was paying the adults any attention at all.
Yes, I didn't see it. And I thought it was so cute when Marlo was sitting with Brooklyn and was like, mm-hmm. you don't put your pinky up, that's ghetto. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so cute because Marlo loves the kids. And it's nice to see her interact and show her soft side.
It is. So just this, and then we can move on. But I want to ask this. So we see Sheree and what her name is, Drew. They get into it about the assistant. And then the other lady at the table brings up that the assistant. Santa. Yes, she brings up that the assistant. Well, no, Sanya didn't bring it up.
No, Phantom.
Yes. Uh-huh. She brought up the fact that the assistant was going around saying that Ralph was gay, and then that just kind of like set Drew off, and then she just starts going off. Don't you say that. Don't you ever say that. You don't know me. I said, I think that there's definitely a side to, there's multiple sides to Drew, right? Because you got the lying side, then you got the mother, then you got the mother side, and then the wife, the friend, and then I do believe that Drew can turn up on somebody. Like, this ain't the first time like she done gave off that type of like attitude towards somebody. Like, I really think she could take somebody.
It's kind of like Cynthia's, where sometimes it's misplaced, so it doesn't matter. I was like, girl, you accuse Sheree and you won't even let her explain. You won't let us get the tea. Then the lady said that your husband allegedly was fool la line with the Grizz. And you still going hard on Sheree, but Sheree ain't even say it.
I think Drew doesn't have good listening skills. Because everything the woman said, Phantom, she wasn't hearing it. She wasn't hearing it clearly. It's like she didn't understand. And everything even Sheree was trying to say to her, she didn't understand. That's why Sheree told her, you know, to up, because she wasn't listening. And you somewhat have to still listen, even if you're in an argument with somebody. It was just like she just wanted to make it seem like she had this big bark. And that's what I think of Drew. Drew has this big bark and is like, I'm from Chicago. Well, you know, everybody from somewhere, people still get beat up. I don't know what else to tell her. But even everyone was telling her, like, you don't want to go there with Sheree. Like, why are you even bringing this up? And I hate when you're the boss and you're taking info from employees about somebody else. Yeah. You're being messy. You're not being a leader. You should have had a conversation with Sheree and nipped it in the bud. But instead, you told people, and those people told other people, and then it's back to Sheree.
She only told Candy, though. Candy was.
It doesn't matter. You told one person. They go.
But see, that's why Sheree was mad at Candy too, though, because she like, you the one sitting around here spreading it around. Drew told you, yeah, and she should have told me. But then you went and told Marlo, you went and told Kenya, like you had the one that, you know what I mean, kind of still spread it around too. And I thought that we was friends. So that's why I went at the end when she was like, she told Candy, you know, I got a basic, she was like, I got a bone to pick with you too. And Candy looking all crazy, like she don't know what was going on. Exactly. Now, what I didn't like that Drew did was when she was doing all that hand movement and Sheree face. I'm like, that wasn't necessary at all. Like, they was trying to defuse the situation, and you're just kind of like still putting, you know what I mean, gas on the fire.
Yes. I don't like that. Don't buck if you're not about to, you know, don't do all of that, because you're inviting trouble. And when trouble comes, you want to run away. You want to run away. Okay.
Absolutely.
But let's move on to, you know, the big mess of it all. The big, big mess of it all. What Phantom said about Ralph, allegedly, that he is gay or in gay relations. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Girl, you're not even letting, like, one of the peach holders say this. You're coming out swinging hard as a friend of. What are your thoughts?
Well, I will say it looks like, from what I could tell of the scene, that Sheree wanted to say it, but she didn't want to say it, right? And so then, said it, but she was also trying to hush her up, like, don't even bring it up right now. You know, listen, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, Ralph is he's definitely something. Now, I don't know if he's gay, but he is most definitely something. But I mean, listen, if that's what the streets are saying, I mean, I would have been like, thank you for telling me what the streets are saying. Well, first of all, thank you for telling me what my sister is saying. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's what I would have been like. Yeah, I would have probably been pissed that she kind of brought it up in front of everybody. But okay, once I got over that initial, okay, thank you for bringing this up. Because listen, I don't want my sister going around talking shit about, you know what I mean, me or my family, and I'm sitting up here paying you. You get what I'm saying? Hell no. And I would have went home and terminated that contract immediately.
Exactly. I don't know what's going to come of this whole thing, but I'm interested to see how this is going to play out. Obviously, Drew is going to defend her husband, but why are these things being said? What's going on with Ralph as to why the girls are saying this, you know? Right. Rumors in Atlanta always, to me, you always get an answer. They're not just like, we're just saying this just to say this. There's always something behind the rumor. Did I go out? Can you guys hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you.
Oh, wow. I didn't know I went out. There was like a long pause.
Or it might have been me because I saw something on my phone. I was like, what is happening, Lord? All right, so back it up.
Can you hear us?
Now I can hear y'all. I couldn't hear anything.
Ricky?
Yeah, I hear you guys. Keep going.
Okay. Okay. Well, back it up to that last thing that you said, because they could cut this part out. But back it up to the last thing that you said, and then I'll pick up from there.
I don't recall what I said. Sorry. that I was saying, like, the rumors in Atlanta are usually true?
I mean, listen.
Okay. I'll finish from there. Okay. So, yes, rumors in Atlanta aren't ever just rumors. There's always something in the back. Either why it started, somebody being messy, whether it's production or the other people a part of the cast. It's never just a rumor. There's always something more. But we could wrap this up and let's get into the next topic, Miss K.
Yes, the next topic we're going to be talking about is ding, 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 Beverly Hills. Listen, I'm going to say this, like, Atlanta is still, I'm still kind of slow on it, right? Like, I've been watching the episodes, but I still haven't been like, oh my gosh, like, this is like the greatest season ever as of yet. So that's why I was excited when Beverly Hills came back on, because I'm like, you know, we already know that they got some drama going on. And so on this episode, listen, the drama was there. We had Harry's 70th birthday party that Lisa Rinna threw for him. She invited all the girls out to the birthday party, which I thought was nice. We got to meet Diana for the first time. And then we also got to meet her husband, who everybody kind of like confuses her son as, because she does have two other kids, and then she has a younger child by her husband. And so let's kind of talk about the birthday party, right? So like, they're all sitting there. Prior to getting to the birthday party, though, like, oh no, I'm not gonna say prior to getting to the birthday party, but once they got there, right, like, Lisa and Harry were the first people to show up, and they set the table arrangements, right, who was gonna sit where. And I thought it was very funny, like, when they got to Sutton, and she had put Sutton on the end, and Harry was like, well, why is Sutton sitting right here, she's all the way on the end? And then like, Lisa's like, oh, you know, that's where I want her at. He, you know, he's like, oh, okay. And so then, you know, they all come to the dinner. They're all cackling. They're laughing. Sutton is kind of like, you know, Lisa is over one side. Erica is somewhere else. And, you know, she's not really, like, getting along with them. But anyway, they sit down. They have, you know, the little dinner. Lisa gives her speech about how, you know, she was so lucky to marry Harry. And he said, oh, no, I'm the lucky one. You know how they do. And then finally, the men, they get up, they go on their own, and they leave the women at the table. And then that's where everything kind of starts. Like, you know, they're just chit-chatting. They're giving kudos to Dorit for, you know, being strong during this, you know, particular time, because we all know that the last episode she got robbed. So they toast to that, and then right after they do the little toast, right, Sutton is like, well, you know, and then she gives an apology to Lisa about what she said about her and Harry and the Elton John fiasco on Watch What Happens Live. I thought Sutton was very genuine in her apology to Lisa, because, I mean, technically, I wouldn't have apologized, but she did. So I thought that was very nice. Lisa seemingly, you know, was accepting her apology, and then Garcelle's like, oh, no. Like, you know what I mean? Y'all are not really getting down to the nitty-gritty of things. So that's when the receipt started coming out. So what do you guys think about what she said? Well, let me say this. What Sutton said, and do you think that Sutton should have apologized to Lisa? Like, did she even owe Lisa an apology for telling the truth?
Well, first of all, I'll say this. Let's start off here. Happy birthday to Harry. You look good for 70. But if I was in Sutton or Lisa's shoes, I would not have necessarily apologized if I was Sutton. I would more so say maybe, but it's hard to say not to bring it on the show that she's correct about, you know, having to pay for the table, blah, blah, blah. But then again, it was kind of unprovoked as to why Sutton brought up this whole table, who paid for what. But she was defending Garcelle. I get that, but at the same time, it didn't need to even be brought up. However, since it was already brought up, I would not have apologized, because if I know I'm correct on something and I know there is nothing that could make me wrong, I'm not apologizing, okay? But maybe she apologized because she felt guilt in even bringing it up, right?
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Because it wasn't necessary. It was super unprovoked as to why she brought it up, but I get it. You were defending Garcelle, but it wasn't necessary. And now it's this whole fiasco about who paid for the table, who was invited, who wasn't invited, all of that, when they're there for charity. So it's give and take.
Right. And that's what Diana said. Diana was like, this is a tacky conversation. We shouldn't be having this conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, while I agree, like, listen, it was for charity regardless, right? Who got the tickets or who didn't get the tickets, who said thank you, who didn't say thank you. However, I'm not going to allow you to lie on me. I want to be able to set the record straight. And I think that's what Sutton was trying to do, right? Because once this came out, Lisa, you know what I mean, immediately took to social media and was like, no, she did not pay for our tickets and da da da. We get invited to this event all the time, blase, or whatever. So, you know what I mean? She was like, hey, I got to bring out the receipts. Because Lisa was like, she was told that the table was canceled and all of this type of stuff. So it was like, you know what I mean? So I see why Sutton felt the need to have to bring it up and say something. And I feel like she did it also so that she could apologize and then they can just kind of like move on and it wouldn't be like an awkward space in between them. So I pretty much think that was the reason why she apologized. However, during this entire, you know, exchange, Erica then jumps in and she's like, well, are you going to apologize to me? And Sutton was like, no, I don't like you. And then I was just like, yes, Sutton. Like, I don't know. To me, Sutton was handling herself at that table. Like, she didn't need nobody to have her back. She was just like, I got this. Like, and I want to clear it up. And I loved it. Like Chase would say, big Sutton. Mm-hmm. That's exactly who she was at that table.
I'm not going to call her that, like I said on our last episode. But Sutton came, okay? Sutton came and didn't care. This is Housewives. This is why we watch this, okay? I thought Erica butting in was so odd because it's like, why are you still fishing for something from Sutton? Like, once I feel like someone doesn't like me or me and them don't get along, but I still have to be in a space with them, I'm never going to look for them to all of a sudden bow down to me. It's stupid. Exactly. But I was like, yes. And when Sutton was in that confessional talking about the receipts, I was like, Oh my, when Lisa hushed her mouth when something mentioned she got the Carfax, you know, she got the Carfax, the table fax. I was like, okay, let's see where this gonna go. But the true person here was Messi Garcelle. And I say Messi in the best way. Garcelle said, I'm playing producer today.
Playing producer, and she did it.
She put on a mini Gisele Bryant hat and she said, I'm playing producer today. No, 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 no. Let's really bring it up. I was like, oh my gosh, where is this going to go? But I was cracking up laughing when Sutton put out her hand for Erica to shake it and Erica told her F off. I was like, jaw drop. I really want to see how this plays out for the rest of the season because it was so juicy. It was so juicy. It was so juicy. Beverly Hills woke up.
Yeah, and I think it's going to set the tone for, like, who's on whose side. Like, you get what I'm saying? For the rest of the season. So, like, I definitely – because, like, even when Garcelle was like, I'm leaving. Like, I'm not dealing with this fake shit, basically, is what Garcelle was like. I'm not dealing with this fake shit. Like, y'all want to be fake by yourself. When y'all want to be real, then I, you know what I mean, hang out with y'all again. But then that's when they was like, no, okay, let's talk about it, da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? They got over it. But you know what I also thought was crazy? Just like Kyle had said in her confessional, like, that Diana was, like, she's on the board or something for the charity event that gets thrown. And so Kyle was like, oh, so this is why you brought Diana here. Like, this is the real reason why you brought her here. Not to introduce her or invite her to a party, but because you know that she's on the board and then you think that she's going to chime in and have your back.
It was all well calculated. And what I find interesting about this whole thing is the truth was always known. The truth was always known. Like, there's no way me and my friend go out to dinner and I know my friend paid for me and I didn't put no money in the bill and I'm running around trying to prove that I put money in the bill. Even if I put a little tip on the table, I still did not pay for the bill. And some people are very delicate and there's no getting through to them, or even with all the proof and them knowing the truth. Because some people in their head, they don't, it's a very weird thing with certain people, especially celebrities, where they think just because they were present, they weren't accounted for in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So although you are Lisa Rinna showing up, you still had to be Lisa Rinna, someone paid for you. Lisa Rinna, you paid for yourself. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right, yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter what your status was that day. That day, you needed to pay for your seat. Yeah. And someone else covered that charge. You know you didn't pay that tax on that table or that charity donation or whatever it equaled out to be. So the truth was always well known. And I highly doubt anyone even goes to that event for free 99. Right. So, and even if you went for free 99, you should have some type of situation, an email or whatever, to say, here, so-and-so emailed me that I was free that night. There was no proof. And somebody else, Sutton, aka Sutton, had the proof.
Yep. And shut her tail right on up. Like, when Diana was starting to say, like, oh, this is tacky, we don't need to talk about this, she quickly was like, yes, we don't need to talk about this. Like, this is not something that we need to be talking about. You know what I mean? Because she knew that she did not have anything to refute what Sutton was saying. Because, like you said, Sutton had the receipt. So, you know what? Listen, Lisa. Okay? who cares if Sutton really did pay for your seat, right? Like, who? I don't really know why it matters if she did or didn't pay. You get what I'm saying? Or why you don't want the world to know. But listen, we do know. And it's okay, girl. Nobody's looking at you sideways, okay? Listen, let that girl pay. You save some money. Shoot.
Exactly. Like, Sutton came out of her big pockets to do that. And it is what it is. Like, at the end of the day, it was for charity. You're not going to take no L for still being present, etc.
Yep.
And you and Sutton were big friends before you came on the show. You knew Sutton had money, which is so strange to me because it's all so very obvious, and I wish she didn't do all of that.
Absolutely. So let's talk about this, because, you know, this is the one thing that I don't like about Kyle, right? Like, it irks me every single time. Well, you know what? Before we actually get into that, we want to talk about a story that's also on the Reality Rundown. So make sure that you go to realityrundown.com to make sure that you get all your tea and all of the stories. And there was a story posted on there where Lisa Rinna calls Sutton a gold digger, right? And I think that this, again, came from Lisa wanting to step in and kind of like have Erica James back. And that's what's funny to me about these girls, right? Like, it's like Garcelle and Sutton cannot have each other's back, but y'all can have each other's back. Like, there's nothing wrong with you speaking up for Erica, but there's something wrong with Sutton speaking up for Garcelle or vice versa. And that's another thing that I don't like about them. But in this particular article, like I said, it kind of talks about what went down between Erica and Sutton, when Sutton was kind of talking about Erica only wanting a man for money and stuff like that, right? And Sutton's like, listen, I'm out here dating too, but I don't need a man with money because I got my own money. And so I just want to read, let's see where I started on this article. Sutton said, I have my own money, so I look for character, humor. I guess maybe unlike Erica, I don't need the money. So of course, in the spirit of defending her friend, Erica, Lisa calls Sutton a gold digger, resulting in an online feud between the reality stars. And like I said, if you guys are living under a rock, lift the rock up, because the Reality Rundown brought you this big, big feud. It happened right on our Instagram account. Like I said, between Lisa and Sutton, where they were kind of going back and forth. She was telling Sutton that she's a gold digger. This is basically what she said. She said, oh, yeah, that's right. Sutton worked her ass off to have the money she has, with the crying, laughing emoji face. I guess it takes a gold digger to know one. She's rich, honey. She's rich because of her ex-husband. And, hey, more power to her. However you get your cash, just own it, baby. That's what Lisa Rinna said. Sutton came back and said, now, Lisa, you know that I've known my ex since we were kids. Don't be doing this. Lisa said, so if he stopped paying you monthly, what then? You be in the same spot as Erica. Don't be starting something you can't win. And then, of course, Lisa with her signature line, oof, you're so angry. I hit a nerve. So, yeah, Chad. So, you know, I wanted to bring it up since we kind of talked about, like, Sutton and Lisa at the table, because I guess we can kind of see that, hey, maybe, you know, that little makeup didn't last as long as we thought that it would last, because they were, like I said, going at it on Instagram. So listen, I don't know if Sutton's a gold digger, but what I do know that Sutton said is, listen, she knew her husband for a very, very long time. She helped that man get what he got. She didn't come in there and try to take what he had. And she said that that's the difference between her and Erica.
Well, you know, I'll say this. It's crazy how today you can be somebody's friend and tomorrow the pages turn. But this is why I love the Reality Rundown. This tea was so juicy, you guys, and watching it play out live was even more interesting. That is why you have to follow the Rundown, because you never know what's going to happen. Girl, I was shook, okay? I was shook to see Lisa in the comments airing Sutton out, and Erica all over a charity table. I was like, jeez! Like, anything to make Sutton look crazy. I was like, wow. But you know what? Here's the thing. No matter how rich you are, no matter what your status is, you're always something to somebody.
Yep.
And Sutton sat up in that confessional and said, me and Erica ain't cut from the same cloth, okay? I might have got my money from a man, but it wasn't like that, okay? And I was really shocked. That all of this was going on. And Erica barely said anything. Barely said a word. And I hope Lisa took note. Because if I was Erica and I see my friend Lisa in the comments defending me, I would have hopped into, like, Girl, you better watch how you coming for me. I was with that man for however long Erica was with Tom, through whatever she was with Tom, because exactly. As much as Erica was with Tom and Tom was, you know, having all this money and all this wealth, and she was just a waitress or whatever she was before Tom met her, at the end of the day, she wasn't just married to him for 2 days or on his last dying bed. She was with him for a long time. So I feel like Erica should have stepped up and said something to defend not only herself, but to not make Lisa look so crazy by herself. And I really, truly hope Lisa took note of that. But like I said, I know y'all call her big something, but something coming out with the guns blazing. Okay, she don't care no more.
And playing the season.
She don't care no more. But like I said, y'all better follow the rundown because you never know what's gonna be happening. Okay, this was big, big piping hot tea.
Absolutely, it was. Listen, we were all like, oh my gosh, what's next? Like, I mean, we were in the text message thread like, did y'all see this? Did y'all see what she said? Like, so listen, you guys, you want to make sure that you're following the Reality Rundown because we have all of the best news. So just to kind of close everything out, like with Beverly Hills, because to me, that scene was the best scene. We did get to see Diana and, you know what I mean, her family a little bit. And get to kind of, you know her and where she came from and her background. But you know what? Somebody said on Twitter, they had posted a picture of Jennifer, I think it's Coolidge is her last name, beside Diana. And they was like, you know, I pretty much had got these two confused. I don't know if y'all know who Jennifer Coolidge is, but she played in Legally Blonde. I know most people probably would know her from there.
Yes, we know who she is.
Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I saw that on Twitter. I was like, you know what? Because when I was looking at Diana, I'm like, she definitely looks like somebody. And when they put that picture up there side by side, I said, yep, that's her other twin. Like, you know how everybody be like, oh, it's somebody out here that look like you. Well, Jennifer Coolidge is the person that looks like Diana. But real quick, like, what do you think about her? And how do you think that she's going to do on the show?
I feel like Diana is going to come in, and I hope she stands firm on whatever side she decides to choose, because she's going to come in where it's messy. It's a lot of messy going on, and I hope she decides to pick the winning team. But her life is so intriguing because it's like, honey, you were married for so long, and then this happened and that happened. I'm interested to see what rabbit hole we go down with Miss Diana. But at the same time, I hope she's not one of those new girls that come in and just want to be liked by, you know, the Kyles or etc. Play your part well and throw a little shade and be cool. Be the cool girl. We need a cool girl out in Beverly Hills. Yes. And I'm excited to see what she brings to the table. I do think she looks more like Jennifer Coolidge, second cousin. They don't look that much alike to me. But I'm interested to see what's gonna go on.
Yeah, I mean, from the previews, she definitely holds her own. I she's not going to be a fan of, I think her and Sutton had got into it from what I can see on the previews. So that's going to be fun to see. But I think she's definitely going to hold her own. I don't think that she's going to bite her tongue because she didn't bite her tongue at the table. So I think that we're going to be able to see like the real her from the beginning. But I too wish that, you know, she would have been like maybe a little bit more cooler, but, you know, and laid back and kind of maybe out of the drama, kind of like Kathy was when she first came on. But I guess we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we get to learn a little bit more about her. But I definitely think she had a very interesting upbringing. And then to kind of close out this segment, we do see Kyle doing what Kyle does, which is why I don't like Kyle. She ran back to Dorit and basically told her that Sutton did not have any type of emotion towards her situation of getting robbed. And basically was like, Sutton was this, you know, not interested, you know, basically talking about herself. And then, of course, Kyle does go back and kind of talk to Sutton about that. But I think that that's going to possibly start some drama between Dorit and Sutton. And so I guess we're going to see how that plays out.
I truly hope it doesn't, because Dorit got a lot going on her plate. And just be grateful that, you know, you're alive, your children are alive, and all is well. My biggest thing is, don't go looking for some sympathy where you don't give it, right? Mm-hmm. And I also feel like if someone's already not showing you that they're interested, or, you know, run into your gate the next morning, just leave it alone. Ride with the people who are there for you, and don't pay too much attention to people who aren't, right?
I love that.
And she said that Sutton, you know, did reach out to her, all that. Everybody has their own way of how they want to react to something. Mm-hmm. And Sutton has been through a lot of trauma in regards of gun violence, etc. Mm-hmm. And maybe she has numbed herself to the idea of anything involving robbery, gun, whatever.
Right.
And I think, you know, it could be triggering for her. But she did say she sent a text. And I think Kyle is being a little bit messy and forceful, because if you want Sutton to react and cry and Sutton is not doing it, then, you know, when she does it, it's not genuine.
Right. So,
why would you want something that's not genuine for your friend Dorit? Just leave it alone. Whenever Sutton gets her one-on-one with Dorit, or when she comes to terms that, you know, maybe she didn't consult or was there for Dorit in a way she should have been, let her come to the realization.
Right.
Or even just say, hey, Sutton, I did not like how you reacted to Dorit's incident. Is everything okay with you? Because this is a pretty big deal. No, you went to Dorit to make Dorit go crazy. Dorit already has a lot going on. And I hope Dorit don't turn it into like, well, Sutton, I needed a boohoo party from you too. Like, no, your husband, your children, everyone in your life is still alive. You know, everything that was stolen from you, I hope to God, is just replaceable items. You know, they're expensive, yes, but that's all that stuff is replaceable.
Absolutely.
The most important, valuable things are your children and yourself, and you guys are okay, aside from a little bit of trauma that you're going to have to go through for the rest of your life. But don't sweat people who aren't there in a way that you want them to be.
Or think that they should be.
Exactly. Focus on what's really, truly matters. And don't go be messy like Kyle. Kyle is just playing producer Kyle, okay? And, you know, we're going to move on from this, because I just truly hope Mystery don't get a no. Take the season to just chill, Dorit.
Yes.
Please, take the season to just chill. But we're going to get into another new show. Let's talk about this one, because we just came up with a new season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills premiering. But let's talk about Love and Marriage DC. Okay, Monique made her way back to the TV screens, and it's Chocolate City, baby. It's a lot of black love. And I'm just here for this. The cast seems really well-rounded. Everyone seems to have their family and all this stuff. So I'm really interested to see how another version of Love and Marriage plays out. Because Huntsville, honey, is messy boot city. And I want Chocolate City to stay Chocolate City. Happy and a little bit of messy. But not like Huntsville.
Yeah, I feel like Huntsville has gone down a road that it probably needs to turn back from.
A very toxic road.
Right. Like, it's okay to be a little messy, but, I mean, like, it's just messy all over the place. And so I'm hoping, and even for Monique's sake, I'm hoping that the DC guys and gals, that they can, you know, keep it kind of like half and half. Like, you know what I mean? Like a little drama, but still we get to see like the good side of black marriages and the good side of like wealthy black women and men and how they operate in their cities. So I'm excited to see that. Personally, I don't really have too many thoughts on the first episode because, you know, to me, it was just more so like a introduction. Like, here are the people, because I will say outside of Monique and Chris, I didn't even know the other two people. So it was kind of fun, you know, getting to know who they were. And hopefully, you know what I mean? Like, of course, we're going to learn more as, you know, the episodes go on. But like I say, I think that, you know, so far they have a good foundation with the people that they have. And I guess we're just going to kind of see, like, you know, where it goes. But I do like seeing Monique being open about, you know, her marriage trouble. I'm not going to say marriage troubles, right? Because I feel like every marriage should go through like a refresh, right? Like, are we communicating with each other properly? Are we, you know, doing these things? Am I loving you properly in the ways that you feel love and stuff like that? Like, I feel like that, like, that's where they are. And I think that that's healthy to see, especially, you know, being in counseling and having a therapist, because it's definitely much different than watching Drew and Rob go through marriage counseling, right? So, like, I think that, you know, being able to kind of see like the two sides of how marriage counseling can be is, you know, healthy. But yeah, so that's what I'll say. And I'll let you say something. But I will also say that I do kind of like Ashley so far. I think she might be my favorite.
I like Ashley. Yeah, Ashley seems like she's cool. I'm really interested in knowing about, I can't think of her name in this moment. Oh my God. I'm having like a brain freeze. But the woman that talked about being cheated on.
Winter? Is that her name? Yeah.
What in the world? I'm just interested to see, like, because, you know, we have one example of what Love and Marriage Huntsville. You know, we have that as an example. And I want to see what we see is going to be. Like, what is its example? I absolutely loved the first episode. I thought it was a great introduction, a good reintroduction to Chris and Monique. Mm-hmm. And I'm really interested to see how it transpires over the next few seasons. And I hope they do display, like, you know, good examples of Black love and Black family, because we really need to see that, because what's going on in Huntsville is not it right now. It's not it. And I'm just hoping for like a refresher, a good refresher, if that's it. But I feel like there's gonna be drama.
Oh yeah, you can tell from the first episode.
Exactly, and I'm also interested in seeing how Monique grows her business, because at that event, them ladies was like, they seemed like they was bored. There wasn't enough going on for those girls. And so I'm really interested to see how Monique grows her brand and how much more she learns and how much more she becomes comfortable in speaking on her brand and how to keep an audience engaged with her brand, because I absolutely did not like that at all. As someone who throws events, who's a part of events, I feel like the people in the room should be intrigued and interested, because that story that girl was talking about was amazing. Not amazing in what happened, but amazing in it was interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm really just interested to see how this show goes. I don't have my hopes up too high because I don't want to be disappointed. And I'm here for Monique. I love that Monique got a second chance at this. And hopefully this goes a little bit better than what happened in Potomac.
Yeah, that's all I really have to say, right? Because, like, you know, we've heard Monique say, you know, several times that she didn't like, you know what I mean, how she was portrayed, you know what I mean, on Potomac. You know, that you guys told me yesterday that that's just going to be a narrative that sticks with her forever. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'll let her have it. But I want to, I'm hoping, because like I said, you know, we said it before, we've seen how Huntsville, you know, the road that they've taken, right? Like, because I mean, the first season of Huntsville, it is probably going to be similar to the first season of DC, right? But then once we got into the second and third season of Huntsville, you know, that's when it started kind of going, you know, a different type of way. And we see this a lot with reality shows. So I'm hoping for Monique's sake, right? Because to me, it seems like she's like, hey, you guys are going to see a whole different side of me. Like what you've seen on Potomac, that's not really who I am. I want to show you who I am, you know what I mean, on DC. But I'm thinking she's thinking that it won't be messy. And I'm hoping, like I said, for her sake, that it doesn't go down the road of Huntsville, right?
Right. I agree with you because she kept on mentioning, oh, this is a good group of women. I'm just here for women empowerment. Blase, blase. Well, Monique, let me tell you something about reality TV. It changes people, girl. Mm-hmm. You think if they were your best friends, they was your sister's child, they will be messy, or even your sister-in-law. Right. Shout out to Real Housewives of New Jersey. But it can get messy. It can get messy. And I just hope, you know, she doesn't get into another physical altercation, because that would really be problematic, because you have to learn how to grow from your mistakes. But I hope she's not living in like a fairy tale land where she thinks everything's just going to be kumbaya. It's not going to be like that at all.
Right. And that's what I'm thinking that she's thinking. So I guess we're going to see, you know, how everything plays out. You know, with the rest of them, I think that once we kind of get like episode 2 and 3, that'll kind of maybe tell us where, you know, where the stories are going and how everybody fits in. Cause I believe on the next episode, like they're all sitting down at a dinner, and you kind of see like, Chris kind of, I don't know, being however towards Monique, but again, that could be all in the way that they edit that particular trailer. So like I said, I'm, you know, interesting to see, like I said, how it goes from here and really see what the real Monique is, since we didn't get it on Potomac.
Right. Well, castmates, that's been our show. Thank you everyone for joining us. Oh, let me redo that.
Yes, thanks for joining us here on Reality Right After. Keep watching for more exclusive content, interviews, and lots of surprises. I'm pretty sure we are going to keep you guys on your toes. We want to make sure that we bring all the fresh content. So if there's ever a story or anything that you want to hear or you want us to talk about, make sure that you hit us up at the Reality Rundown on Instagram. RealityRundown.com for any of our stories. Listen, you know, you can catch us live. Our show has moved to Thursday nights right here at 8:30 p.m. You can get a podcast episode. You might get a video episode. You just never know what you're going to get with us. But just know that we're going to be streaming live on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And of course, if you ever miss any of our live shows, then you can always listen to the podcast version of the show the next day, anywhere that you listen to your podcast. That has been our show. Thank you, ladies.
Good night.